Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe. Up in the captain's chair for our weekly time together. It is my mission that at the end of the half hour that we spend together, that all of us will feel just a little bit better about ourselves and about the world in which we live. And I have a couple of stories which will fulfill that particular mission. My greetings today in particular go out to all of Captain Joe's people who sent me messages, signals, telephone calls, and one or two pieces of paper that were wrapped around a rock and tossed onto the deck of Captain's Quarters. In response to my piece, my entire broadcast last week about the assaults and the concealment of the report and of the investigation of those assaults, in particular at the Coast Guard Academy and in the larger sense, to any place in all of the service academies and in any place where those terrible things happen, among, between, and among shipmates, classmates, people who go to sea together, people who serve together, people who have taken an oath of obedience, the same oath that all of us who have served took. So I thank you very much for your comments, your reflections, and your thoughts. This is not ended with me. I will continue to report on it. And because this has now acquired a considerable amount of publicity through, in particular, cable news network CNN and the report that they did on that, it's all out now in the open, and I am going to be as protective of my much-loved service as I can, and at the same time be both fair and open with exactly what's going on. Each of Captain Joe's people, because you are connected to me and because we are all connected amongst each other, have a personal interest in that we, the Coast Guard, and in the largest sense, the military, get this right. The binnacle list today also carries with it for me a certain part of personal sadness. Not only are there a number of my Coast Guard people on the Coast Guard channel who are having challenges which have come up just in the last week, but also my sister Lib, who lives in Vermont, is in the hospital right now, and we're waiting for some tests and other things to happen. There are other Coast Guard of Captain Joe's people who are having surgery this week. One in particular is having surgery today, and this one comes under the category of you know who you are. As always, all of people on the binnacle list are in the palm of my hand. And as always, it is my wish, my hope, and my command that each of you who are on the binnacle list will follow the instructions of your particular medical practitioner so that you come back restored and back on a full duty status. It's useful for me to point out once, because we have a number of people who may not have heard what the definition of the binnacle list is and why we call it that, so I'm going to take a minute to do that. In sailing ship days, the binnacle was and is today, even today, is the place where the magnetic compass is installed. It's a special stand that holds the magnetic compass, and on either side of it are what are called the quadrantal spheres. And these quadrantal spheres are there to balance out the induced magnetism that the ship, a metal ship, steel ship, carries with it. The whole subject of compass compensation and adjustment and the various magnets which are used to to do that is beyond the scope of our discussion today. It'd be enough to say that the binnacle holds the magnetic compass, and in sailing ship days, it was all the way aft. Today, it is up on the bridge, but it was all the way aft in sailing ship days. And the ship surgeon was required to inform the officer of the watch and the captain of the people that were on the sick list who were not able to answer the call when it was time to lay aloft and loose or furl sails. And so he would construct this list of all of the people who were not available for that duty. And he would carry that list back. And it became the custom, because the officer of the watch and the captain were always looking at the compass to make sure that the ordered course was being followed, it became the custom for the list to be hung on the side of the binnacle. We still call it the binnacle list today, after hundreds of years. And I think that that is a wonderful continuation of many of the ship's traditions that we still carry out today. On Saturday, I am going to be a part of the memorial service for Bernie Merrifield. Bernie lived right across Puget Sound from me, and he was one of those people who was not only one of Captain Joe's people, but a person with whom I became friends after I was on active duty. In other words, we never served together. But we did speak together at a reunion of the people who had been part of the expedition to carry out the first circumnavigation of the North American continent. And he was a member of the ship's company of the Coast Guard cutter Storrs. The other two ships were the buoy tenders Bramble and Spar. So anyway, Bernie died a few weeks ago, and I was able to spend some time with him on the last 2 days of his life. And I have been asked to make some remarks at his memorial service. The family has decided that they're going to Zoom this. And so here is where you need a writing instrument and something on which to write, because I'm going to give you both the meeting identification for that Zoom program and also the passcode. I believe, but I'm not sure, that you have to have the Zoom program installed on your computer, but I'm not certain about that. People who are much more knowledgeable of things electronic will will be able to tell you that. What I can give you, though, is the meeting identification, so if you're ready to copy, here we go. 882-7907-8648. 882-7907-8648. And the passcode is 503-490. 503-490. And I will be making remarks at Bernie's celebration. And I know that there are many, many, probably hundreds of people that, if they cannot be there, will want to be a part of it through the Zoom program. So for Pamela and Heidi, and I know that they have also sent the links and those numbers onto the Coast Guard channel. So those of you who would like to be a part of the memorialization of a really good man, a Coast Guardsman, and one who was part of a great Coast Guard expedition, then that's how you can tune in to the Zoom program. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 1500 on Saturday, on this coming Saturday. on Sunday. Actually, this is now coming up on Strawberry Festival. Strawberry Festival is an interesting anomaly for us on the magical Isle of Vashon because nowadays we grow very few strawberries. And when we have the Strawberry Festival, most of the strawberries that we have for things like Fisher's scones and all of the other strawberry treats that are made available during Strawberry Festival are brought in from off-island. But the festival started, I believe, about 100 years ago. I think we had the first one over just over 100 years ago, when we did grow many, many strawberries here on the island. And then many of those strawberry fields were owned by Americans of Japanese ancestry. And when World War II came, many of those people were interned in Idaho. When the war was over, they came back to their property, but the older people no longer were able to do it, and the younger people were not interested in farming. So the fields were allowed to grow over, and today many of those fields are used as pasture land or woodlots. Much of the magical Isle of Vashon is in forest now. But we still call it the Strawberry Festival, and we still bring a number of events. The Strawberry Festival, since the virus, has become more of a local and less of a people coming in from off-island. And then on Sunday, we have the annual car parade. And I and Kate, who is the executive director for Voice of Vashon, Kate and I are going to broadcast together starting at 10 o'clock on the Voice of Vashon. And if you listen to me, Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band, and it is, of course, streaming live all over the world, voiceofvashon.org. And you can go into either one of those outlets and listen to Kate and your captain do the broadcast of the car parade on Sunday, the Sunday of Strawberry Festival, 10 o'clock Sunday coming up. After the car parade, I will be going to back out to Point Robinson to do my Sunday tours, and probably I'll be an hour or 2 hours late. But I'm bringing up the tours now because, first of all, I have been the recipient of the gift of love from one of my Coast Guard people here on the island, Captain Ron Weston. And he gave to me for installation in the lighthouse a lovely photograph of the Coast Guard cutter Fur. Now, you will know, those of you who are Black Hull sailors will know that Fur was a buoy tender. And this picture is not a photograph. It is instead a line drawing, and it's absolutely beautiful. And Ron brought it in. He came in the day that I was doing one of my broadcasts. He and Laura came in. They are a Coast Guard family. They have children who are Coast Guard people, and I look forward to spending some time with them as a family later on this year. But anyway, Ron brought the picture in, and I am delighted to report that it is now out in the lighthouse, along with a uniform which was given to me by Mrs. Sparks, and I'm finally getting the uniform out to the light, and maybe this Sunday I can enlist somebody to help me put it onto the mannequin that we have, which right now is wearing a uniform from the old lighthouse service. The Point Robinson Light is becoming more and more of a museum. I'm running out of space for things, but we will make it all work. And I bring this up about not only about the Point Robinson, but also about the tours, because I do the tours every Sunday that I am in town. If I'm not in town, if I'm away, then, of course, I don't do them. there's no way that even I can be in both places at the same time. When I was up in Upper Michigan, that was one of the times when I didn't do it. But Point Robinson Light is a destination for many people that come from off-island. I think that more than well over half of the people that I get from my tours on every Sunday, which I give from noon until 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 1,600 hours, every Sunday that I am in town, and more than half of the people are people that come from off-island. Some of them bring their passports to be stamped. I have a rubber stamp that I put on the passports. I have a poster that can be only gotten from Captain Joe at the Point Robinson Lighthouse, because the person who developed the poster moved off-island and gave me the rights to reproduce it. And this poster shows on one side it has a map of all of the lighthouses that have ever been built in Washington. And on the other side are photographs of the ones that you can actually get to. But I bring up the tours because every week I have had things happen, people come and talk to me that have really touched my heart. And I think, and this is a think, this is I believe, this is not a conviction, not a pontification from the captain's chair. This is only something that I believe. I believe that they have gotten some good out of it too. And so this is the part of my broadcast today in which I am talking about things that will make all of us feel just a little bit better about ourselves and about the world in which we live. One of the people that came to me last week, last Sunday, was I would say, about 25, lovely young lady. And she was with a young gentleman, and she had some other friends with her. And so we were talking about the island and the way that we live here on the island. And I pointed out that we have our own school district here, that it's possible to go from preschool all the way through high school here on the Magical Isle and never leave. And in fact, we have children that come to us and are part of our school district who come from off island. So she then reported that, oh, Captain Joe, because by that time we had gotten to that point. In fact, that's how I introduced myself when I start off any one of my talks about the lighthouse. She said, well, Captain Joe, I'm a teacher. And so then we talked about the grades that she teaches, and she is in her second year as a teacher. Last year was the year that she completed her training and her education at San Diego State and acquired her teaching license and her teaching certificate. And she told me that last year she was teaching sixth graders, and this year she was teaching fifth graders. And I said, oh, those are tough years for teachers. I have several teachers amongst my grandchildren. So we talked about that, and then she wanted to talk about how hard it was. And then she wanted to talk about thinking about not staying with it. And, of course, that lit the fires under my boiler, because if we ever need people of dedication and commitment in many, many professions, not the least of those professions is the one of teaching. So then we talked about why. Why are you thinking about leaving? Why are you? And she said, oh, well, it's so hard. So then we talked about things from my own experience about how you climb back up into the captain's chair when things get hard and how you deal with those. And so it turned out that she was still teaching in a small school district not the San Diego School District, but she lived on Point Loma. All of you Coast Guard people or Navy people who have been stationed in San Diego know about Point Loma. And she said, I live, what is the name of that big Marine Corps? And I said, that's the Marine Corps Recruit Depot. She said, that's the one. I live right next door, almost right next door to that. So I said, I want you to go to the Red Sails restaurant and tell me whether they still have abalone on the menu, because abalone got overfished and they had to stop catching it. So she's to report back to me, but in the larger sense, I said, here are some things that you can think about and things that you can do when you think about quitting. We never give up the ship. And especially when it comes to our duty and our obligation to children. And she said, but still, it's so hard. Yes, yes, it is hard. Yes, it can be hard. Yes, there are many things in life that are hard. And we have to learn how to deal with them. And then we have to learn the joys that comes from successfully teaching. I said, don't you have some successes and some joys even in your first and now in your second year? And she said, oh, my goodness, Captain Joe, I certainly do. And I said, then those are the things upon which you must reflect. So as she was going out the door with her friend, I think that her friends had maybe gotten a little bit bored with the things because they were not directly involved in this conversation that she and I were having. She turned around and gave me this greatest smile right between the running lights. Thank you, Captain Joe. So, the next thing that happened was I had a large family group. And in this large family group was a mother of one of the couples, the mother of one of the ladies who had her husband and children. And we, and this lady was of a certain age. I choose not to be more explicit than that. She was of a certain age. And her children and grandchildren and friends, they were all in this fairly large group, left, and she was there for a few minutes, just the two of us still talking. And she said, Captain Joe, I lost my husband just 9 months ago. This one came right out of the sky. I wasn't expecting her to say that. And so, but again, the fires under my boilers got lit off. And so we talked about how you handle. And she was still really raw. And she was having some physical manifestations and connections to all of that. So there were, so anyway, we talked about that. A few tears were shed on both sides. And her daughter came back and she said, Mom, we're waiting for you. We're ready to get underway. And Mom turned to her daughter and she said, well, just wait just a minute. I'm having this wonderful visit with the captain. So we talked for a few more minutes and then she left with thanks. Did I do any harm there? I think not. Did I do some good? I think so, because clearly she needed somebody and had not found that need anyplace else. And here I am, this old sea captain, talking about Fresnel lenses, fifth order Fresnel lens, which we still have. So then the next thing that happened was some children came. And, of course, I thrive when I have children out there. And this was a particularly articulate young lady in particular. And she was about seven. And she had an opinion on just about everything. And I love to talk to children like that. So she and I really picked it up and rolled it out and talked about a number of different things. And then her parents decided that it was time to terminate that conversation and get out onto the beach. So the last group that I had was an Armenian family. And I don't know how we got going on this one, but this Armenian family wanted to talk about the suppression, terrible, terrible suppression of the Armenians by the Turks a long time ago. How do these things happen to me? How do we get going on these things? And yet, these are wonderful conversations, and they are conversations that people seem to have just been waiting for the right place, for some warm tropical waters known as Point Robinson Lighthouse to be able to open up their hearts and to talk about these things. I had a lot of other things on my list that I wanted to get to today. Next week, I think it will be just myself, and I will get caught up on all of these. But if you want to listen to what I have to say about cars, that's on Sunday. If you want to be a part of Bernie's Zoom, that's on Saturday. And on the other things that we have as all of our joint business, one of them is that I have mentioned here before that I lost my little girl cat and probably to coyotes. So last weekend, we went out to the Central Valley Animal Rescue, and I went out there with a mission. And the mission was, I told the people out there that I was looking for a cat that nobody else wanted. And I found one. Now, I don't know how this relationship is going to turn out. Her name is Blossom. I did not name her, she is of advanced years. And I may not even try to change her name, but the idea of my going around Captain's Quarters singing out the words, Blossom, Blossom, where are you? I may not be able, mentally, morally, and ethically able to continue that. In any case, I will let you know how all of that works out, because it's going to be a very interesting relationship. Nobody wanted Blossom because she's black and because she does have a few health issues. And she's not yet been out into the rest of the house. She's right now confined in the downstairs bedroom. But I'm going to have to let her out pretty soon. She is going to have to be an indoor cat only, and I've never had one of those before. So there, that gives you all things to look forward to. And this is, as always, I see that it is now at the end of my time. This is your Captain Joe. As always, up in the captain's chair, we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And until then, this is your Captain Joe. All of you remain, as always, in the palm of my hand. This is your Captain Joe on station and watching properly.